Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. And today's episode, we'll have two great guests here to introduce. It's first Igor Ustinov, artist, innovator, and philanthropist. A life shaped by heritage, creativity, and a relentless drive to build a better world worldwide. And then Dr. Hala Minyavi, bridging science, culture, and human connection, a voice for empathy, innovation, and the courage to live authentically. But first, let us go into the song, and let's kick things off with a song selected by Igor Ustinov. Today we welcome Igor Ustinov, a man whose love reads like a tapestry woven from art, heritage, and vision. Welcome, Igor, here on the show.
Well, good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning. You were born into a family of deep cultural roots, and you've turned your journey into a mission to inspire through creativity, to innovate through action, and to build bridges where others see walls. From your early childhood influences to your groundbreaking projects today, you embody the idea that legacy is not just inherited, it is created. Stay with us as we uncover the mind and the heart of a true culture entrepreneur. Very happy to have you here, Igor.
Well, thank you, Annabelle.
We started the show now with a song selected selected by you, and I like the song. A working class hero is something to be, from John Lennon. It's not just a kind of song for me. It is a kind of, or it exposes for me a very, very much how easily individuality and freedom can be eroded by invisible social pressures. Lennon isn't just singing his warning and telling listeners that being a working class hero means breaking free of that conditioning, daring to think and feel for yourself, even when the world punishes you for it. And I thought about the schools where you, Igor, give so many young people chances for another life.
Yes, well, for me, it's a bit a reminder of my own youth, because my generation, we had this period, you could call the hippie period or something, where suddenly everybody wanted to create a new world where everybody loved each other. Maybe that shaped my mind in a way also as an artist and as a human being.
It gives me goosebumps when you say that in the past, in your youth, you fought for this, for love and peace and the world. And looking around, I don't see people striking and standing up for love and peace. I see people standing up for messages against other people, but not for a very peaceful, happy future. I sometimes think that we miss these positive items, these positive visions. What happened there?
Well, absolutely. I think there was a peak of this wish in the 70s, 80s. And slowly since then, we've been drifting into a more radical world. As you know, because you're also on the board of the Ustinov Foundation.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do, we have an institute in Vienna to fight prejudice, or firstly to understand prejudice. And because we thought that prejudice is one of the source of human disasters. So this is a topic we worked on a long time. And of course, with the foundation, we're trying to help children and give them a chance in life with the help of our donors. But seeing the way the world is drifting, we're more going towards conflict and discrepancy and hate and all sorts of all sorts of results of prejudice, which I think is a bit desperate. We feel desperate because we've been working on the subject with professors and wonderful minds to try and untangle this prejudice. And I see it's getting worse in a way. If you look at the media, even the news and everything, people don't even realize how much they're carrying prejudice. And the effort our foundation and the Institute, and probably also as an artist, I've been fighting for to enhance mutual respect. I think that mutual respect is more profitable for everybody. It's easy to prove it, but we tend to forget it, maybe because we were not taught it at school. I think mutual respect links to business, to prosperity, to all sorts of good things in life. And the contrary of mutual respect leads to conflict, punishment, war, all these things that happen once you drift that side. So I think what we've been trying to do with the USNA Foundation and the Institute is to help to maintain the level of mutual respect in society to a certain level. But I must say, it wasn't enough, what we did.
Staying there, with what you described, not all listeners might know exactly what you're doing with the schools, with the Institute, with the foundation. Can you give maybe one project or a concrete sample for each, also for your creativity, for your art you're creating?
Well, yes, of course. The Institute is in Vienna, in Austria. And we're partners with the city and the university to try and understand or develop awareness around the problems of prejudice. As these false or, let's say, shortcuts in the mind of people can lead to a lot of mistakes and a lot of conflict. This is one organization that we created in 2003. With my father, and it's still active, and we're doing our best to limelight this problem. The foundation is from 1998. It was founded by me and my father, and the idea was to continue a bit what he did for UNICEF. He was for 37 years the ambassador, goodwill ambassador for UNICEF. And so he did a lot of good work and is to continue this work. It meant something because I joined in because he was already nearly 80 when we started the foundation. So now, since 26 years nearly, we have been building schools, little orphanages, art schools, and about 20 nearly 30 countries. And we're still active. We're in Frankfurt, based in Frankfurt. And I think this year we're active in 23 countries.
This is amazing. And I'm very, very happy and thankful to be also part of this journey.
Yes, well, I'm very, it gives us a lot of satisfaction. And through my commitment to schools, I became an inventor because I saw the problems of housing in the world, mm-hmm. and the problems of giving dignity to people by having a decent house. And I realized that there's about 3 billion people on the planet who need a proper house. Mm-hmm. And if we would decide to do it, if we had the money to do it, we would do it in what material? Because if you face it, I mean, there'd be no forest left if we start building for all these people with wood. If we want to do concrete, there's already no sand. It's becoming very difficult to find the right kind of sand. And when you find it, it destroys nature. And for each ton of concrete, you need 200 liters of water. So I started thinking about it and trying to find a solution. And today I've developed a construction system called UHCS.Swiss, if somebody wants to go and see the website. And this construction system is a way to build homes very rapidly with recycled PET, which is the plastic from the bottles, which is not actually a bad plastic, because today everybody hates plastic. That's another prejudice, in a way, because you decide one thing is not good. It's like mushrooms. There's a few mushrooms that are lethal, but the other ones are delicious. So it's a pity to throw the whole thing away.
That's
In the case of PET is, there's a company, a French company called Carbios. They've proven that you can recycle it, regenerate it, make it new again, 40 times. That means that if you build in PET for 40 and you don't throw it away in the landscape, you can rebuild 40 times. They stopped after 40 times because they thought it's enough. But probably you can do it in a very circular way for more, even longer. If you consider a house lifespan is about 80 years, 40 times means 3,200 years that you won't be cutting trees and you won't be using nature to host ever-growing humanity. I think it's very, very important what I did. So I slowed down my sculpture. I decided that the impact of this innovation is more important for people than just the inspiration they could get from my sculpture and my pleasure of being an artist. So that's what I did the past 5, 6 years. And now we're waiting for European certification, and then we're on the market.
I hope that it comes very soon, and listeners can easily get access to this, because I think it's a wonderful solution to use exactly that, what we used already, what is there, and which doesn't need to get trees or any natural material, which can stay in the system, then helping us growing and saving our nature planet, right? I really adore what you do, and also that you decided so wisely about your energy, because we just have 100% energy. We can't say, okay, let's build the house or do the house project on top of everything what I do, because we just stay with 100%, right? And I think it's with you, it is the drive you have, it's your inner system, inner guidance, which knows maybe a bit more than other people what we have to do for making the planet a place worth living in. And do you have something like a defining memory from your childhood that still shapes you today with all things you do?
Well, I wasn't always like that. I remember when I was in school, I would work just before the exams. I think it's a bit the same thing, and I'm nearly 70, and I feel an urgence to do something worthwhile, so it keeps me very busy. It's like working before the exam.
Yes, many people say it's a 5 to 12 or 5 after 12. Hopefully, it's at least 5 to 12 or 10 to 12, hopefully, that we have enough time to get the exam done with a very good grade, right?
Well, I must say, you speak about all these things I'm doing. I'm doing them with other people who are very helpful. I mean, there's Alice Taspasi from head of the foundation. He's doing a fantastic job. You are on the board. I have people in the construction. I have engineers, architects. I mean, I'm doing. I I made the patents, because we now have our patents in 102 countries. So I'm considered the inventor, but the development, we did it as a group of very, very skillful people, very generous.
I like it that you mentioned this, that it's a team, and you're the inspirator, the inventor, and an energy, the total energy comes from connecting dots, what you do, but also collaborate. So I'm looking forward.
You know, my co-partner in or co-founder of UHCS is André Hoffmann, you know, from the Hoffmann family that did so much for WWF, World Life Preservation. So in a way, it's two family cultures that meet. On my side, where we were concentrating on people and on psychology. On his side, it was nature and health. And actually, he's just been nominated co-chairman of Davos, of the forum. And in a way, it's also this exposure to and the friendship that created this this project.
Very nice, very impressive. I have plenty of questions I would like to ask you, and I will try to pick the best after the break. So stay tuned. We see each other back in approximately 2 minutes.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I continue talking with Igor Ustinov, artist, innovator, and philanthropist, a life shaped by heritage, creativity, and relentless drive to build a better world. Igor, we talked before the break already about what you do, what you move, and it's impressive to see how many areas you cover with that, what you do, from education, early education, university, further education, but also giving people a home, which means not just a home, but remembering in every moment they will stay in their home, at their home, that they do something for the world being a better place by making sure that they that are knowing and remembering that a house is built from waste, right? From plastic waste. You are the one and the creative head behind it. Growing up in such a culturally rich family, your mother and your father, what values left the deepest imprint on you?
Oh, you mean their influence or them? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think they were both very daring people, very courageous. And my childhood was being in boarding school, because my parents were so active and so implicated in many different, fighting for UNICEF or producing films, writing plays. That meant that there was a price to pay, that less family atmosphere. But so it was a bit, I felt a bit left as a child, left on the side by very, very powerful and active parents. But on the other side, now as time went by, I think they was the best example, because I respect what they wanted to do, particularly for UNICEF. It was very important. But when I was a child, I didn't understand why he was so busy with those children. And we saw him on television. So, but anyway, no, yes, it's a different kind of family, a different kind of family life that I live. But, you What's interesting in life, it's the importance of circumstances. You meet incredible people that shock you and that drive you to do one thing or another, exceptional people. And it's not the same people for everybody, but there is always a handful of very important people that we meet in our lives that gives a direction to what you're doing, I studied biology because I met a scientist who really inspired me when I was about 20. At the same time, I was at the art school in Paris, the Beaux-Arts de Paris, because I was always the artist in the boarding schools. I was receiving the prize of the best artist nearly every end of the year. So I think it's my nature. And for until I got involved with the foundation, my life was essentially being in my studio producing art. I used to have about 10 shows a year. I did a few monuments in Paris that's now in front of the headquarters of Chanel. I have a few in England, Switzerland, and even one public sculpture in Bulgaria. So then I did the Oscars of Ballet with the Bolshoi, which are still on, called the Benoît de la Danse. It's the Oscars. I called them myself Benoît because it's the name of my grandmother and this family where there were about 50 artists. Because I thought that Ustinov of Ballet didn't fit because we're too heavy. Anyway, and starting to... That's when we started the foundation. I got involved in philanthropy, also thanks to my father, but I really cared for it. And now, because of what I've seen, I decided to become an inventor. And actually, I was surprised because my first invention, I got the international prize as the best invention in 2017 from the World Federation of Inventors Association. So then I was suddenly welcomed to the world of inventors very nicely. And so it's also circumstances that bring people to do things, I think it's an important thing to point out.
That's absolute. I completely agree with you. And it's impressive to hear some of the steps. Did your family heritage sometimes also felt like a gift or more a burden in your developing?
Well, it's as an artist, it was an advantage and a disadvantage in a sense, because the advantage is people are curious, they want to see your art, they're curious about you. And on the other hand, the professionals see you as amateur, something like that, because they think you don't come from the typical social background artists come from. But, it's like having a big nose. Cyrano used to say, have a big nose. How is it to not have a big nose? You don't know, so you live with it, and you do the best out of it.
You were an artist by soul. What was the first piece of art you ever created where you can think about?
Well, probably it's in kindergarten, but I don't know if you can call it really art in the sense of really knowing, following a direction. What I liked about being a sculptor, it's a bit like the story where this child walks in the forest and leaves little pieces of bread behind him for himself to know where he has been and for other people to find him. I feel a bit like that as a sculptor. It's a life, being an artist. You drop little sculptures. Thank God bread has been eaten by the animal, so he got lost. I leave bronze sculptures. So I'm surprised now to see sculptures I did 30 years ago. they haven't changed, and I feel a bit older.
What role does intuition play in your artistic work? Because from that what you described, I feel that there's a lot of creativity, but also a lot of wisdom besides, for example, with your decision that you want to concentrate currently on house building or home building.
Yes, well, I think a form of optimism. I mean, what I would like to share with people is enthusiasm about life. I think to be artist, you have two ways of being artist, or you're horrified by life and you express it and you give that as a present to the other human beings, or you are absolutely amazed by the world and by life and you want to find a solution for all the difficult things, and you want to be active to participate in finding solutions and being optimistic. I think my sculpture is a vehicle for a form of energy. If you look at my sculptures, they're always dynamic. I think they're even more dynamic than it's a transmission of energy. I would like people that see my sculptures that feel a bit tired or gray or sad to say, oh, let's go on, let's do it. Let's, life is there and we can go after it. And we can find all the solutions to make this world a better place.
Yeah, exactly. If somebody is interested to watch your sculptures, maybe we can give the listeners later on some locations where they can check some out. If they want to visit Chanel, for example, and see and visit some of your artwork.
Well, I have a website which is very easy. It's igoryuslov.com. We're remodeling it because I was busy with something else.
Mm-hmm.
But in England, I have a sculpture, a public sculpture in Bath, behind in Monmouth Street. It's called Hopefully, and it's on the Oosternaal Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely project we did in 1997, something like that, and I think there's also a Oosternaal bar for mm-hmm. those. Well, it's a complex
mm-hmm.
little theater, and you can see it from the street.
That sounds really good, and I like the name of your sculpture, Hopefully, because I think it stands so much for what you do. Sometimes I think, what does it mean to deal with all these things and bring these ideas, which also include negative ideas, of course, about all these crises, into something, something that which keeps you every day focused and productive? Do you have some daily practices you would like to share with us?
No, I think all we can do in life is do our best, if that's what you want to do. I think doing your best. I think it's a good way to show appreciation and love to people and to the world. And it gives it. You get a lot out of it. Passing time, but what I want to make clear that in my case, this is not an ego. I'm not ego driven. Although I'm called Igor, I do my work, and the results should speak. I'm not doing it because also when you give the limelight to a personality, I don't want to fall into that bent that you glorify yourself during an interview. I think I'm just doing my best. And sometimes I'm blessed with a good idea, like the housing, or with a sculpture, something that comes into you. I have a new project now called Water Roofs.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it, Water Roofs. Actually, I realized that human infrastructure is about 4 million square kilometers. And we've never thought that we're depriving nature from evaporation at an enormous scale, and this water doesn't return to the water cycle. So I designed a tile that should retain water and evaporate the same ratio than 1 square meter of forest. And this way, housing will have a zero impact on the water cycle. And this was an inspiration also. It's psychological. When we first built our roofs, we said, let's get rid of water, what nature to hide from nature. But we didn't think what impact that could have on nature itself. Every year, it's 2,200 square, no, cubic kilometers of water that doesn't return to the cycle. And this is really disrupting climates and also making our cities very, very warm and even warmer. UN Habitat has a statistic that in the next 30 years, we will build another 380 square kilometers of roofs. So if we go on with a traditional way of just getting rid of the water, we're just going to make the situation worse. So I had this really disruptive idea to make a roof that has little retainers. So when it rains, some of the water stays on the roof and it for evaporation.
Oh, this is really innovative thinking, and I wished you could see your values and also the way you think into all schools and the university, that it can grow as much as possible, and of course in the foundation. So I hope that many of the listeners also check out the foundation and see what great things the foundation does. If you could change one thing in today's world, what would it be?
Well, I would again. I would go back to mutual respect. If I had the magic, power to say, okay, stop all this, and let's all respect each other. If somebody has a problem, you speak to the other problem. To the person, you explain your point of view, you get somewhere. I think it's ridiculous, the attitude that we have now of creating an enemy that was probably even not an enemy. And then you find excuses why you can badly treat it. So it's again, we're falling into the schemes of using prejudice to excuse a horrible thing you've done, or to excuse a horrible thing that you intend to do. I think if I could magically say, let's forget this psychological bent and let's go back to mutual respect and let's enhance it. And mutual respect is also dependent on truth. If you despise truth, you cannot find a solution in the discussion of respecting other people. So those two things, I think, are very important. But I do my best. I can't do more.
I think we find as much supporters as possible, Igor. And thank you very much for the engaging discussion and the inspiring insights. And I really look forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we can do together. And looking forward to putting even more things really into practice, which we can do together, to connecting dots and do just by adding things, multiplying the things.
Yes, well, if I can only invite our listeners to support our foundation, to give us the means to go on and make a better you know, to support us in our mission to do some good.
Yeah, thank you so much, Igor. We will send the links also to the listeners that they can see or they can find easily the websites. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing you soon, latest on the Frankfurt Book Fair. Thank you so
Lovely.
Much.
Lovely. Looking forward. Bye-bye.
Me too. Bye-bye. So after the short commercial break, we will continue with Dr. Hala Elminiavi.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I'm very happy to welcome now Dr. Hala Elminiavi, a woman whose journey is an inspiring vision from a childhood truth shaped by curiosity and resilience to her path as a doctor of business administration with a degree in sustainable development, economy and human resources in the third world countries. Innovator, culture bridge builder, Hala has dedicated her life to making knowledge human and healing tangible. She reminds us that science without empathy is incomplete and that true leadership lies in staying connected to our humanity. Stay with us as we dive into her story, her wisdom, and the practical ways she turns challenges into growth for herself and others. Welcome, Dr. Hala.
Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for hosting me this morning.
Very happy to have you here, Dr. Hala. I would like to step first in your early ages. What is your earliest childhood memory that still inspires you today and drive your journey?
Well, I can say that I've grown in a very emotional, let's say, environment, and I lost my father when I was very young. So my mom and my brother and sisters used to pamper me a lot, lull me a lot. My brother used to play chess with me. And my mother, you know, she was the one who inspired me. I was, since early age, I was good in writing and painting. And she used to say, I wanted to be a doctor one day. My brother, you know, is a neurologist. And in 2018, I was able to achieve her dream, though she was not here. I got my PhD. Those kinds of, you know, coaching, emotional stability, emotional support helped me build my self-image and, of course, self-confidence.
And I mean, it sounds like a very tough person you must have been even already in your early years, combined with a lot of empathy also from your family. Who was your first role model and how did this shape your path?
Well, of course, my mother, she was really educated, very pretty in soul and visual, in her visual image as well. And she was very humble and she was very good in communicating with others. She was really very diplomatic. And I can say I gained this from her. Yeah, because, you know, diplomacy is an art. Now we are training people to be diplomatic, but, you know, it should come from within.
You're absolutely right, because diplomacy should be something coming from heart, where you not only listen because you're polite, but you listen because you're interested in the person opposite.
Exactly, exactly. You respect other people, respect their cultures. You deal with everyone equally, regardless of their background, religion, how they look, their races, or their even educational degree. Yeah, that is wonderful. If you can reach such kind of, you know, let's say intellectual maturity and emotional stability, then you reached the highest peak of self-actualization.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I'm sure that you had many experiences which brought you there where you are, but was there one powerful experience from life which is still guiding you, or which is a bit of being that one which brought you here where you are?
Well, I can say at the age of 21, after graduation, I moved to Dubai with my husband and my kid. And that experience shaped my whole life. Because I can say, though, in Dubai, it's different culture, though they are Arab like me, but they are very honest, straightforward, simple people. They are Bedouin, they are very humble and they accept others to a great extent. And once they feel you are serious in what you do, and you are loyal and you are professional, they open all the doors for you. And that's exactly what happened with me. I got my master's degree in 2005 and my PhD in 2018. And I can say that my experience in the UAE, and it continues till now. I've been here for 30 years now. And wherever I go, I come back to Dubai as if coming back to my hometown. And I get so many awards here, so many recognitions. And I'm the author of 9 books. They granted me the golden visa as an innovator. Yeah, it's been a truly very enriching experience for me.
Wow. I mean, that speaks for you, and that speaks for the country and the people there. And I mean, I don't know Dubai that much, but I love the people in Dubai. The rare experience I had there, just as for the COP, for example, I felt so welcomed, so supported. So,
Yes, exactly.
yeah, and also such a high quality in meetings where it was about the topics, about solutions. It was not about just driving your idea through and not listening to others. I've never had conversations on such a high level with so polite and really honest, friendly people, where listening is an act of respect and thankfulness to have the other person in your room. This made me really thankful for being able to spending the time there, because it is, as you said, it's such a different experience. I hope that the other countries could learn from this country, from these people. Because it's more important than ever, I think, this empathy combined with quality, combined with respect, combined with effectiveness. It is to bring this together. I think also your institute is a good sample for that. It is interdisciplinary. It welcomes people from all over the world. It is very much oriented to high quality, as I saw. And besides this, it's full of humor, friendliness, joy. So it is not that as in some countries they say, okay, you have to decide between joy and quality. You combine it. How did you got the idea to this institute, and what is the very typical of this institute? What make us also unique among others?
London Intercultural Center was initiated in 2022. And frankly speaking, since I was in the university, I was fond of attending conferences, exchanging ideas with other people, and I've been involved since the year 2000 with many international organizations as a global speaker and also as a volunteer. I was the regional president of the Guide Association in the Middle East. I'm not only a new or naive or just an intruder in the world of holding conferences to bring people together, to bridge gaps, to educate people, and to support also the youth and empower women. We initiated this cultural center to bridge cultural gaps. And annually, we hold one very big annual conference in London. But throughout the year, Last year, we held another conference in Dubai, and we participate with other international conferences to represent this center. And we, of course, we have also the London Intercultural Award. We usually present it to individuals or organizations who contributed to the cultural tolerance, let's say, mission globally.
Very impressive. What drives you at the core of your work?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I've learned something very, very essential from the UAE. They say in Arabic, "Falak tayyib, match ilham," which means that don't worry, there are always alternatives. This kind of perspective, you know that perspectives shape reality, right? And we view reality in different ways according to the way we think, according to our mentality. So just suppose that wherever you face an issue or a problem, you feel that there should be an alternative. This gives you great peace of mind, right? Feeling that, okay, it's not the end of the world, and you will find a way out through maybe communicating with others, through brainstorming, through looking at the problem from different perspectives. So, after, of course, in the beginning of my life, I wanted to pursue my higher education and also to bring out my kids. And, you know, throughout the process, as I've told you, I wrote 9 books about a journey of self-recognition, secrets of living, and so on. So, and now I reach this type of, let's say, maturity that my main purpose is to share my experience and knowledge with other people through training, coaching, and consultation. And every morning when I get up, I feel that I feel this huge amount of gratitude and appreciation for being alive, being happy. I just open the window, look at the blue sky, because in Dubai it's always blue, and say, well, I'm alive. I have a purpose. I have something to do in life. And that's it. Well, it's a joy to be alive, and it's a joy to have something to do and to have a purpose.
This is really a gift, and I wish that most, as much as possible, people can learn from you to see life as this gift and start every day with gratitude and thankfulness. Because I think this is something which your personal recharge. Is there anything else which re makes you personally recharge and stay grounded? Maybe some further hacks?
Well, Annabella, I will tell you a secret. You know, lately I discovered something. You know, whenever I go into a session of training, you know, usually it lasts for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. But when I leave the session of consultation or training or coaching, I feel so energetic. And then I discovered that through real communication with other people, through creating a flow of interaction, you know, creating this field of positive vibes whereby you communicate with other, you exchange, you give and take. In fact, this really what let's say keep your flame on. Yeah, so I feel it's through the flow of interaction with other people.
That's so nice what you're describing. And you've mentored and inspired so many people. What is your leadership philosophy behind?
Well, I can say that first connect with other people, first bond and build a bridge, and then you can deliver your message.
This is so important, I think, because many people in the Western countries haven't learned that. They come with an offer or with something they want and say, "Here, I want that."
Yeah, it's Yeah, let me be frank with you. It's okay to be straightforward, honest, transparent, but unless, communication is two channels. So if unless you reach out to the other person, connect and bond, you won't be able to deliver your message.
I think it's so true and it is so important. It sounds so easy, but it isn't. I think you've learned so many lessons also for yourself that made you being this great person you are. What was the hardest leadership lesson you've learned?
Well, sometimes in the working environment, in society, or in your life, you might be surrounded by people who do not share the same mission or vision like yourself, or they don't go in the same pace. So it's okay, accept them, but you don't have to go in the pace. You need to follow your dream, Once my son told me, "Mom, you are an eagle. You are not a chicken." I said, "What are you saying?" He said, "Yes, you need just to go to the peak, spread your wings and fly, and don't make other people, hinder your progress. You invite others to go with you in your journey. But if they are unable to follow that, then you have to pave your way and go ahead. And I have in my first book, I wrote something that even when you cease to be, you will always be there. Your words, your deeds, and the pages you left for others to read and complete. So it's important to leave a legacy, whether as the people you train, the people you inspire, you empower, or in books, or in donations, or even in the center that I created in London. And I hope that it will continue to spread light and cultural tolerance among not only people in London, but globally.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Haller, for these wise words, for the engaging discussion, and for your inspiring insights. I know we couldn't talk for several hours more, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing you again for an ongoing exchange and also to improve this impact we can do together with a lot of woman power to make the world a better place. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for hosting me. Thank you.
Thank you, and looking forward to seeing you very, very soon.